Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Coffee, everything's good to go. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. It is our one day to feed the world, our Bear Good Fruit offering. You can give to that today by choosing Bear Good Fruit. You choose that on your app. You can also write that on the tithing envelope. I want to encourage everybody to do something. And we're going to dig into this message today, our last message of the year. Bear Good Fruit has been our theme this year. And I think it's so important that we look at this. I believe, actually, this sermon has some really great keys for freedom in 2025. If you're looking for freedom in your life, you're looking for freedom in your finances, I believe that God will literally set you free in these areas when we start to bear good fruit. And so as we talk about this today, I want you to look at it from that perspective. Like, hey, this is how I'm going to see incredible movement toward God in 2025. When I allow God to bear good fruit in my life. The focus of bearing good fruit comes from Matthew 7, 16 through 20 in the NLT. We're in the book of Matthew. We've been studying that. We'll be back to that here in a couple of weeks, but if you remember, that portion of scripture was actually the Sermon on the Mount. And so when we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, that would be Jesus' first sermon. He'd been around for about 33 years at this point. He'd really dug in, started looking at like, okay, what do I need to speak to these people about? It was his first public sermon. And when you look through the Sermon on the Mount and you look at the topics Jesus talked about, he really summed it up to be what it looks like to be a Christ follower. He said, hey, this is what it looks like. This is the life change that has to happen in your heart. Jesus didn't speak to the people, though. He spoke to their hearts. And as we read the scripture today, his word still goes right to the heart. And so what I'm asking you to do is open your heart up today. Let the Lord speak to your heart in some of these areas. Let him dig in and speak to you about what he wants to do in your life in 2025. That's what God is still most interested in, is your heart. It's not about cleaning up your actions. It's not about, he's interested in where your heart is. Because if your heart is in the right spot, everything else will take care of itself. And so throughout the New Testament, this message of bearing good fruit is repeated multiple times. And you might say, well, I've been around all year. I've heard bear good fruit sermons. But I want to tell you something. When you see it repeated over and over and over again in Scripture, Jesus is trying to tell us something. So we have to stop and we really have to dig in and go, okay, God, help me to know why is this so important? And today's message is a good reminder of the importance of bearing good fruit and the fruit that we should be looking for in our lives. In fact, I want to tell you, as a believer, if you count yourself as a Christ follower, you should be bearing good fruit. People should be able to tell that you're different. In Matthew 7, 16 through 20, Jesus warns us about false prophets and how to spot false prophets, but he also shares with us about the principle of bearing good fruit in our lives. So as we look at this, Jesus is speaking right to us, and he says this, you can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce good fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Here's the thing. Actions speak louder than words. And that's why God is so concerned about the fruit that comes out of our lives. You can say all day long you're a Christ follower, but if your actions don't match up, that's where the issue comes in. And listen, here's what I think. I think God doesn't just come along and go, because he likens the tree to our lives. He doesn't just come along and cut down the tree and throws it. No, he says, hey, I want to prune. If you'll allow God to prune in your life the branches that are dead, the things that God wants to take out, by opening your heart and saying, God, look into my heart. Whatever pruning you need to do, do it. And pruning can be a difficult process. It requires discipline. It requires allowing God into the areas of your heart that you've closed off. Sometimes it's a little painful where God digs in and says, hey, I want this area to be healed in your heart. But I want to tell you, if you open up your heart and let him do the work, when you get to the other side of it, there's freedom. When you get to the other side, God changes things. I want to challenge you. Allow God in every area of your life, in every part of your heart, to prune every branch that is not producing good fruit. John 15, 12 tells us, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. So he will cut off the branch that is not producing fruit, and the ones that are producing fruit, he loves to prune back even more so that your life produces even more fruit, the fruit of the Spirit that we're talking about. When you look at the analogy that Jesus uses as trees, it's important to understand what dead branches do to a tree. It's important to understand that the tree can be harmed, the health of the tree can be harmed by dead branches. What does a dead branch do on a tree? It provides entry points for pests and diseases. It weakens the tree's structure, adding unnecessary weight, preventing proper healing, making it important to prune them off to maintain a tree's overall health and safety. Essentially, they act as a potential gateway for problems without contributing anything positive to that tree. The same with dead branches in our lives. If you have a dead branch in your life, it could be a dead relationship that you're trying to hold on to. It could be brokenness that you're trying to hold on to. It could be, I don't know what it is that God's pointing out, but here's what happens. When you have a dead tree, a dead branch in your life, it opens the door for the enemy to bring in pests and diseases. If you're feeling extra weight and unnecessarily weight being weighted down, it's time to ask the Lord, what dead branch do you want to take off? If there's things that are keeping you from health and healing in your life, that's a dead branch that God wants to take care of. What dead branch are you allowing to stay that's providing an entry point for the enemy to come in and bring pests and diseases or affecting your structure? What dead branches are keeping you from proper healing? Let God come in and prune them and prune them back. What does God want to do in your life in 2025 when it comes to these areas? A believer, a person who counts themselves as a Christ follower, is always allowing God to prune their lives to bring good fruit. What areas of your life does God want to prune? In John, we also see that God comes in and he prunes, like I've said, he prunes those branches that are already producing fruit to produce even more. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you should be producing good fruit. If you're not producing fruit or you're producing bad fruit, it's important to spend some time with Jesus going into this next year and say, God, what do you want to prune back so this fruit in my life can continue to grow? Because that fruit will literally change everyone around you. And don't have an excuse for bad fruit. Well, that's just my personality. Well, I'm just mean to people because that's just me. Well, I'm just a critic because I'm very critical. Don't give the enemy any room in your life to have bad fruit. Because as a Christian, as a Christ follower, if you love Jesus, he wants to bring good fruit into your life. And when you bring good fruit into your life, it's not only going to energize you, but it's going to touch everyone around you. It is a game changer. For spiritual health, we have to allow God to prune the dead and the dying branches in our lives. To take the relationships that are already broken, to take you into a new season, maybe to give you a new job. I don't know what it is that God wants to prune in your life, but he wants to prune some things to make you even more producing of good fruit. I want to encourage you, don't be content to just stay where you are spiritually in 2025. Don't just stay where you're at. Take the next step. The average stats say that a person stops growing when they're 7 years saved. They've been in the kingdom for 7 years. They stop. And I want to encourage you, it's time to start growing again. Start to grow. And we grow by saying, God, what's my next step? What is the next step you want me to take? I don't care if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 30 years. We all need to be asking ourselves that. What is the next step? What kind of fruit do you want to produce in my life? Ask the Lord to show you the changes he wants you to make and what the next steps look like to experience freedom. What does good fruit look like in our lives? Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And remember, it's not just our words, it's our actions. So what is good fruit? Here it is. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This slide right here, this scripture, you need to take a picture of it because this is our evaluation tool to sit down in our lives and say, okay, God, how is my love for others? Okay, Lord, how about my joy? Because if you don't have joy, you don't have strength. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. How about peace? We live in a world that is searching for peace. And that people are okay with, it's almost celebrated if you have anxiety or stress or worry and it eats you up. And what the Bible says is that God came to give us peace, not anxiety, not fear, not worry. So Lord, prune the areas of my life that's bringing not peace. And then how about patience, our favorite word ever? How many of you pray for patience? Yeah, have fun. He always answers. Kindness. I know some of you have road rage. I've seen you drive. That's why we don't do Hope City bumper stickers. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. How am I at my faithfulness? Am I showing up? Am I doing what you've asked me to do? Gentleness and self-control. Those are the areas of our life. If you're wanting to grow fruit, that's what you should be growing. So Lord, prune my life so that I can have more love. I can have more joy. I can have more peace, patience. Bring that back up a second, would you please? There you go, thanks. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let those things be what we, and don't, isn't that a good list? I mean, that's what we want in our lives. It's a good evaluation tool. On a regular basis, evaluate yourself. What is bad fruit? Bad fruit symbolizes actions, attitudes, and outcomes that are contrary to God's will and his word. What are some of the characteristics of bad fruit? Deception. Looks good on the outside, but is rotten within. Selfishness, rooted in self-interest rather than godly love. Division, one who loves to sow discord and tears apart relationships. I said this in first service. If you've come to Hope City to cause division, keep on moving. We want unity here at Hope City. Harm brings destruction to ourselves and others. Bad fruit not only hurts the people around us, but it hurts us. It hurts our relationship with God. And you know, there's a thing in the world today where people say, well, you can't judge me. Why are you judging me? You're so judgy, you can't judge me. I want you to know, as believers, we can call out bad fruit in others, okay? And we can say, hey, that's not the fruit that you need to be having. So we need to keep our eyes. But keep in mind, we got to look at ourselves first. If you don't look at yourself, your job is not to test other people's fruit. It's to test your own. You with me? It is quiet in here. All right. I want to look at three truths related to bearing good fruit in our lives and how we allow God to prune our lives. First of all, truth number one, it is a heart issue. God wants to get to the heart of the issue. God is more concerned about your heart than anything else. That's why when religious folks want to change somebody from the outside in, God wants to change people from the inside out. All right? He's concerned about where your heart is. God's most concerned about that. Actions speak louder than words. Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Do not let your heart get infected. Do not let your heart be broken. And when it is broken, let God heal it. Your heart is the issue. Guard your heart. Guard the feelings of your heart. According to the scripture, we have to guard our hearts. One of the best ways to guard our hearts is to take an inventory on a regular basis. The enemy never wants to come in, will probably never come in like a flood. He always loves to slip in at a little moment and then take, if you give him an inch, he takes a mile. So guard your heart. Don't let anything get into your heart that, and I think the way we guard our heart also is be quick to forgive. Don't hold grudges. Don't be bitter. Watch your actions. Watch what comes out of your mouth. You can tell what's in a person's heart by what comes out of their mouth. So what's coming out of your mouth? As you read and as you listen, what comes out of your mouth gives you a clear picture of what's going on in your heart. Many times people try to change their actions, but they don't deal with the heart. The heart is always at the root of issues in our lives. We need a heart change, and then our actions will follow. You can always determine. Take a heart check by listening to what's coming out of your mouth and your actions. Dealing with just actions and not the root of the issue never works. That's why when people deal with symptoms, like if you have goat heads, oh, those things, like weeds, right? I hate, those goat heads are from the devil. I'm telling you right now, I've never seen such bad weeds, right? But if you just tear one of the little stems out and you think it's gone, what happens? That thing grows. The seed for that is in those goat heads. That's why they're so nasty. All right, you got to get rid of the root of the issue. And that's like in our lives. God wants to deal with the root of the issue, not the symptoms. We try to deal with the symptoms, and we don't deal with the root. And God's saying, go down to the root and pull it out by the root. Let me do that for you because it'll change everything. God is not concerned about you completing a checklist and looking good on the outside. He wants a heart change on the inside, and then everything else will come into line. Truth number two, abide in Christ. Listen, abide, and that's kind of an older word, but that means in the morning when you wake up, get with Jesus. Spend 15 minutes, read the word, get into the Bible, pray for a few minutes. The rest of the day, abide in him, be with him, be connected. It will change your world, and it changes the kind of fruit that you put out. John 15, 5 through 8 says this, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father." You know, I found in my life, in the times when I'm not spending time with the Lord on a regular basis, I feel like my heart starts to wither up. The farther you kind of get away from God, the more it feels like you're dry and you're dusty. And I'm telling you, the way to overcome that is to abide with him, to be connected to him. Jesus is the vine. That's where we get our nourishment. That's where we get the joy and the peace. As we're connected to him and as we stay so close to him, apart from him, we can do nothing. You know who modeled this for us? Was Jesus. Jesus said it. He said, apart from God, I can do nothing. So when he was here on this earth, he had to be connected to God like never before, like what we're talking about today. He modeled it for us. We have to be connected to Jesus and abide in him, and our relationship with him is so important. Also, when there's any sin in our lives, it's so important that we repent and we remove that sin. You know what? Repentance, and I've said this before, but repentance literally means turning and going the other direction. It's not just being sad and not, I mean, all of that, the emotional stuff, okay, but really it's saying, God, I want to go a different direction. It's turning and going 180 in a different direction. Holy Spirit plays a big role in bearing good fruit in our lives also. If you look, the Holy Spirit is what produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So allowing him in to connect and say, Holy Spirit, help me in these areas. Here's what I love. God's not asking you to change on your own or bear good fruit on your own. He wants to partner with you. That's what I love about God, is he says, hey, if you'll get connected to me, I'll take care of the rest. If you'll stay connected to Jesus, he'll take care of the rest. He wants you to partner. He wants to partner with you by the power of the Spirit to bring healing in your life, prune the dead branches, and bear good fruit. Okay, get ready. I'm going to really start meddling. Are you ready for this? You thought it was good up to this point. Here we go. I believe what I'm about to tell you literally will bring financial freedom to you in 2025. If you're struggling in your finances, listen up, because this is where God speaks to us. Truth number three, be willing to give God everything. You have to allow God into every area of your lives and then allow him to bring healing and wholeness. Here's the thing. Many people are good with giving God 90%, but the final 10%, oh no, I'm not giving you that. That's where it's painful. That's where it's hard. And do you know what is in the final 10% for a lot of people? It's their finances. It's their finances. They hold on tight. They hold on tight to their finances. They feel like they're never going to have enough. They feel like that God doesn't hear when it comes to this area. Their finances are the final 10%. And here's the thing. It's not about money. It's about how much you trust God. It's not about the money. It's about how much you trust God. Many people are good with giving God 90%, but the final 10 is where it's difficult. If God doesn't have full access to your heart and your life, you're missing out on what he wants you to do, what he wants to do inside of you. You're the one that misses out. You're the one that leaves things on the table, and God promises these things, and you sit there and look at it and just go, well, that must be good for other people. I want to tell you, you take hold of those things by giving God everything, by saying, God, I'm all in. When you couple obedience and 100% access to your life, God can do incredible things in you and through you. Finances, it's that one area. And I want to tell you, if you will give God your finances in 2025 and you'll be obedient, you're going to see God show up. And here's the problem. Like I said, money's not the issue. It becomes a heart issue. People who are not generous, they hold on. They don't trust that God's going to provide his promises. Maybe even a poverty mentality where they're saying, I've never had enough and I'm not going to have enough. And how could I ever give? How could I ever be obedient? Because here's the thing, to see financial freedom, you have to step out in your giving. You have to be generous. A poverty mentality says, I got to hold on to everything that comes in. A generous mentality says, God, I'm going to give you everything. You direct me. You guide me on what I need to do. And God's blessings come in and you see God do incredible things. Bearing good fruit applies in your finances also. God has promised to take care of every one of your needs financially and supply everything you need when you partner with him. Partnering with God in our finances means that we're following his directions and we're being obedient to do what he asks us to do. God talks about money more than anything else in scripture over 900 times because it's such a hard issue. We can get into so much trouble when it comes to our finances, okay? Here's how you break that. You break it by being generous. You break it by saying, God, I'm going to step out and I'm going to trust you. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, he doesn't force you. He says, if you do, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out blessings so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. When you follow God in the area of your finances and you're obedient, you can always go back to God and say, God, I trust you. When that big bill comes, and you're like, how are we ever going to pay that? If you've given, you can go back to God and say, God, we were obedient and we're going to trust you and you have to take care of this bill. It's not on your shoulders anymore. I want to tell you, in 50 years of life, I've never seen God fail one time. When we've gotten those big bills, and usually the big bills happen when you step out and you trust God and you give, all of a sudden you get this big bill. I had a lady in our church in Port Angeles who said, I just gave, I was obedient, God spoke to me, and I got a $40,000 hospital bill that week. And you know what was so amazing? She could say, God, I trust you because I was obedient. I did what you said to do. By the end of the week, that bill was completely forgiven, all $40,000 of it. And she didn't stress it one time. And how do you step into that? You step into it when you obey God. What is a tithe? Tithe is giving 10% of your income back to the local church. Now you might go, Pastor, that's a lot. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Maybe start out with 2% and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm putting you to the test. And then follow what he tells you to do. But give God everything. Look at the promise that's attached to this. If you're generous and you give God what he, if you give to God what he's asked, he promises to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing so great that you will not have enough room. The answer is not working harder or trying to be more creative or working 80 hours a week. The answer is step out, trust him, give, and then let him take care of the rest. You're going to be amazed when you do. What God can do with 90% when you give him 10 is way more than you can do if you ever kept 100%. Some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe right now. When I make more money, then I will. Trust me, if you're not doing it now, you won't do it when you make more money. It gets harder. So step out and trust God in the area of your finances. Following God and trusting him with your finances and being generous will literally lift off the pressure of the finances in your life because you're going to be able to go, God, I was obedient, now you take care of the rest. And he does it time and time and time and time again. Here's the thing though, many of us, we want God to do it first and then us step out. That's not how it works. God says, take the step of faith, you step out first and then I'll meet you. He requires us, just like every promise in the Bible, we have to take the first step because it shows we trust him. Do you trust him? Because if you do, you're going to take the first step. If you don't, you're going to be like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. You'll sit back and you'll miss out on what God wants to do. And here's what giving is like, and the Bible talks about this a lot in bearing good fruit. The Bible talks about our giving in the sense of sowing and reaping, which means if you're a farmer, you know you have to put a seed in the ground to have a crop. A seed in the ground in spring to have a crop in the fall, right? Would it ever make sense for a farmer just to stand there and go, I'm not doing anything this spring. I'm not going to put a seed in the ground. I'm not going to do anything. Or maybe put the seed in the ground and then not nourish it, not be there. What do you think they could expect to get in the fall? Nothing. That is what the Bible says when it comes to our finances. When you give, you put a seed in the ground. And here's the thing. God says he'll even give you the seed. When you plant a seed by giving and generosity, you are pouring in and sowing in to the season of reaping that's going to come next, the harvest. When you plant a seed, you can expect a harvest. You can expect that harvest, and it will be a bumper crop, especially when it's partnered with generosity. You can't believe in a financial miracle if you haven't planted a seed. You're going to struggle all of your life. God gives you the command and then promises a blessing, which means you have to step out. So how should we approach giving? 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 in the New Testament. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must give each, you must each decide in your heart how much you will to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. There is no pressure today. There's no pressure. But what I want you to know is there's freedom if you'll step out and trust God in your giving. So how do you do it? Just do it. Plant generously. Don't ignore God's commands. Some people are going to walk out of here and ignore what God is saying. Plan on regular giving. Build it into your budget. As you are doing a budget in 2025, which you all need a budget, if you're doing a budget, build in giving. And it may require a sacrifice. But I want to tell you something. That sacrifice is going to be worth it. Nothing worth doing doesn't require a sacrifice. It may mean you have to give up your peacock. There's nothing good on it anyways, right? It might mean that, hey, Dutch Bros, out for this year because I want to sacrifice and I'm going to give to God what he's asking me to give. It might mean realigning your life. And it's not the amount, but it's a sacrifice. Give above and beyond. Today you have an opportunity to give. Plant a seed and see what God does. Ask the Lord what he would have you to give. Whenever you have an opportunity to give, ask God. Say, God, what do you want me to do with this? What do you want me to do? What should I give? What should I do? Respond then immediately. Remember, we've always talked about this, that delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. So when God gives you a number, hey, I want you to give this amount in this offering, do it right away. Don't look. Don't try to talk yourself out of it because the enemy would love that. And I want to tell you something. The enemy's even throwing things up in people's minds right now. Don't let him, because he knows there's financial freedom on the other side of this. Here's the thing. God doesn't need your money, but you need his blessing. Money is not the issue. But he needs every bit of your heart, even in your finances, and you need his blessing on everything you put your hands to. I believe that in 2025, God is going to unlock financial miracles for people in incredible ways, and it starts by our generosity. It starts with planting a seed. And today, I'm going to challenge you, plant a seed. You might say, well, I've never given before. Today's your first time. You might say, I have $5 to put in the offering. Do it. Whatever you've got, whatever God asks you to do, do it. That's a bearing good fruit in our lives. Will you bow your heads across this room? There's a couple of things that we're going to do today. And if you'll just stay, kind of stay steady here. First of all, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I've never given my life to Jesus. I need to do that today. Maybe that's your first step to bearing good fruit. Maybe you've even sat in church your whole life and you've never made that decision. The Bible says we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to make a decision to turn my life over to him and let him be in control. If that's you, if there's anybody like that, would you just slip up a hand today? If that's you, you say, man, I need to give my life to Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. Let's give God a hand for that. That's great. Anybody else? Anyone else today? The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person makes that decision. We're going to pray a prayer together. Jesus, and pray it all together with me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for loving me, even when I couldn't love myself. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Today I say, you drive, and I'll ride. My life is yours. I'll serve you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the second thing I want you to do. With your heads bowed and your hearts open to what Jesus is speaking, will you ask him what he would have you to do in your finances today? Ask the Lord. Say, God, what would you have me do? What would it look like to bear good fruit in the area of my finances today in giving to the bear good fruit offering or even in your tithes? Ask the Lord to speak to you right now. And he's going to maybe give you a number, and I want you to be obedient right away to go do it. Don't hold up. Don't wait. But do, just go before the Lord, especially if you're needing a financial miracle. God, what would you have me do? I know I need to step out first, So what would you have me do in this financial side of things? I give you my finances. Maybe you have a business here and you need to turn over your finances and your business to him to say, God, these are yours. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm going to trust you for you to bring the business in. Just wherever you're at, ask the Lord that question. And then when he speaks to you, just be obedient. Don't wait. On the way out today, do what you need to do. Be obedient in the area of your finances. Here's my very last thing today. We're going to close our service up a little bit different. But if you, in 2024, you just felt under attack, the enemy's been attacking your family, maybe it's just been one attack after another, and today you say, Pastor, I need God just to put a wall of protection around my family this year. I need God just to show up. Listen, and the attacks may not stop because you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life, but I want to tell you, they can be neutralized. And today, if that's you just saying, man, I need just God to put a hedge of protection around my family going into 2025. I want it to be different. If that's you, will you just get out of your seat and come down around this altar? Come now. Come if that's you. Come on. If it's been a year of attack, just come. Come on. From wherever you're at, just come. We're not going to embarrass you, but we're going to sing a song of blessing over you, over your family today. And if you're out in the congregation, will you stand? Right where you're at, we're going to sing a new song. And I believe that this is a song, as the words get put up, will you sing it just from the bottom of your heart? Doesn't even matter. If you can't sing, don't worry about it. Because we're giving the enemy notice that he has no right over our families anymore. We're giving the enemy notice that you're not putting up with it anymore. You're not going backwards. You're only going to go forward. Just sing it out. It's a new song, but the words are going to be up on the screen. Just sing it out with all your heart.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.